From Spark and Anvil and Logic Quest, this is Appeal to Authority Auntie, in Chapter 1 of the Logic Quest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Auntie was a small sloth, warm gray and cream and impossibly soft, and everything about her was slow. The way she moved, the way she blinked, the way her words came humming out one gentle syllable at a time. She had exactly one trick, and she used it constantly. She dropped famous names. Well, the great explorer says, the famous chef told me personally. Whoever was most impressive got quoted, and the quote was supposed to settle the matter. She wasn't a villain, and she'd tell you so herself, slowly. She was a teacher. She dropped those names right out in the open so you could learn to ask the one question she was secretly begging you to ask. But is that person actually an expert on this? Auntie hadn't always known it was a trick. She'd grown up in a grand old tree at the edge of a town full of famous folk, actors and singers, and adventurers who swept through and said dazzling things. Little Auntie hung on every word. When a famous acrobat said the moon was made of cheese, she believed it, because the acrobat was so graceful and so admired, and surely someone that wonderful couldn't be wrong. It took her years, sloth years, which are very long, to notice the crack in that idea. The graceful acrobat knew about swinging through the air. He knew nothing about the moon. Being admired for one thing had nothing to do with being right about another. Auntie had spent half her life trusting the sparkle instead of the substance, and once she saw it, she couldn't unsee it. She decided to spend the other half teaching people to tell the two apart. When Auntie finally made her way to Logic Quest, she took her time, of course she did, and arrived a full day after she said she would. Inspector Logos was waiting anyway. "What is the appeal to authority mistake?" the inspector asked. Auntie settled slowly onto a branch and hummed. "It's using someone impressive to prove your point," she said, "when that someone isn't actually an expert on the thing you're arguing about. Famous is not the same as qualified." She blinked her long lashes. "I did it for years. I trusted the sparkle. The skill is asking whether the person really knows about this, not whether they're wonderful at something else." Inspector Logo smotted. "Expert testimony is real evidence. A doctor on health, a scientist on the sky. A famous non-expert is just a famous opinion. Telling them apart is the whole job." She smiled. "You're hired. Take your time getting to your desk." Auntie's favorite classroom was a squashy flowered armchair, and her favorite student that season was a boy named Max. One afternoon, she was visiting when a plate of super-duper sugar swirls sat piled on the coffee table, bright pink, sparkling with sugar, and Max's mom had just sighed that they were too much sugar. "Oh, these are perfectly fine," Auntie hummed, lifting one with a slow, curved claw. "Famous movie star Rex Rocket says sugar gives you energy. He eats a whole box before his action scenes. He told me so himself." Max frowned. Rex Rocket was so cool. He fought robots. He flew a spaceship. "But Rex Rocket is an actor," Max said. "He pretends to be people. He reads lines." "Exactly, dear," Auntie tilted her head. "He is famous. He is impressive. But is he a food expert? Does he study nutrition?" Max pictured Rex Rocket in a lab coat. It looked silly. "No, he's an actor." "Right." Auntie took a tiny, careful bite, pink sugar dusting her chin. "So his opinion on food is just an opinion, not evidence. That is the appeal to authority, borrowing someone famous who isn't actually an expert on this." She held up three slow claws. "So you ask three things. First, is this person really an expert on this specific topic or just famous? A doctor studies health. Her opinion on sugar is evidence. Rex Rocket's isn't. Second, does the expert have a reason to want a certain answer? Money? A favor? That's a conflict of interest, and it weakens their advice. Third, do most experts in the field agree? One doctor saying something odd is less strong than 100 who agree. That's expert consensus. Max looked at the swirls. Then he reached past them, picked a small red apple from the bowl, and took a loud, crunchy bite. Auntie's eyes twinkled. "There it is," she said softly. "You checked."
Later, when Max had finished his apple, he sat frowning at the last sugar swirl.
"I still kind of wanted it to be true," he admitted, "that Rex Rocket was right, because I like him." Auntie hummed a long, understanding hum. "Of course you did. That wanting it to be true feeling, when someone you admire says the thing you were hoping to hear, it's warm and it's strong and it pulls hard. I know it better than anyone." She blinked slowly. "But feel what happened just now. You wanted it, and you checked anyway, and something settled, didn't it? That wobbly, unsure feeling in your middle went quiet. That's what checking does. It doesn't kill the wanting. It just lets you stand steady inside it." She smiled her slow, warm smile. Expert testimony is evidence. Famous non-expert testimony isn't. And that calm, settled feeling when you've checked for yourself, that's the one worth chasing. Take your time getting there. I always do.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to appeal to authority ante. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.